Anthony Rhody has been pronouncing his name wrong this whole time, and I'm going to tell him how to do it now. Good morning, sir.
What's up?
Rhodia?
Rhodia.
Rhodia.
Yeah. I tell everybody, make believe the D is capital.
Rhodia.
Yeah. Makes it easier.
But there's no E in your name.
No. R-O-D-I-A.
So it could be Rhodia.
Yeah, I guess if I wasn't Italian.
Right.
Your name could be Chase.
It could be.
Like the lounge.
It could be. It you depends be on how many alcohol.
You could be a lounge chair.
And joints you've had.
Yeah, fancy that's right. One,
I'm a Chase Lounge.
Yeah, it sounds fancy like that. Hey, my name is Chez.
I'm Chase.
Chez.
Hey, Chase.
Chez.
Hey, Chase.
Oh, you got to say with the accent. Chez.
Chase.
If you were French. Yeah.
Right.
It's Chase.
It's Chase.
Yeah, like Target could be Tarjay. We can go on for days. Yeah.
Chase and Edge in the morning. I like that.
Yeah, or I could be eating a ham and Chez. Sandwich.
Haman.
That sounds delicious. I want one. Anthony Rhodia in studio.
What's up?
What is happening?
Nothing.
Look at you.
Yeah, well, I mean, not nothing, but nothing now.
Yeah, look at you. Last time you were here, Stress Factory, many shows.
Yeah.
But now, two Palace Theaters, one in Stamford, one in Waterbury.
Double Palace. Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend. Waterbury, we did last year for the first time, and I was overwhelmed with how many people bought tickets. I mean, I don't, so I'm going to air this out. This is, I mean, is this called like an exclusive in radio talk? Like if I say it for the first time here?
Yes.
I'm giving you an exclusive.
Ooh. You're about to get an exclusive.
My agent's probably going to kill me for this.
It's pronounced exclusive.
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 I'm not performing at Foxwoods anymore. They had me there three times. They don't want me back. I sold out every show. And I found out it was because I made a joke on stage, which I think that's what I do.
You're supposed to make jokes on
stage. They had, it was during the pandemic, they had rules where I couldn't do a meet and greet. So I said to the people in the audience, I said, it's funny how I can't meet with you guys outside the theater, but if we cross those ropes, I can lick your face at the blackjack table. I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump off stage, and I'm just kissing everyone. I'm kissing cheeks. I go backstage after the show, and the head of security goes, dude, I cannot let you do that. I go, do what? Jump off stage and kiss everybody. I'm not jumping off stage, dude. I go, what am I? I'm a priest. I'm the Pope. I'm going to start kissing babies.
Well, I heard you're that rodeo guy.
It was a joke, and they got so like aggravated. They wrote a email saying I can't perform there. I ended up apologizing, which I didn't really want to do. So now Waterbury is kind of my North Connecticut spot. And I mean, people came out.
Waterbury's a good spot for you.
Beautiful theater. I mean, last year, I think we had over 1,500 people. This year, I think we have the same. And I think the only other thing I can do, what's past that? Mohegan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm doing Mohegan next year in May. But awesome. Waterbury, man, that's one of my new Connecticut
homes. Here's the things with Foxwoods. We do a lot of business with them. They're great, and it's a great place to see shows.
I love the actual the theater, the venue. A lot of walking. A lot
you're
of walking.
Right. That you need a golf cart.
And my father can't pronounce the tower that I stayed in. Can I say it on the air?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can. I'm going to say it on the air. Do you guys
have
that zap button?
Yeah.
Okay, so my father goes, hey, I like this place, but one of the towers, it's a very disgusting name. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, it's a Pukyok. And I said, what? I said, I don't think that's how you pronounce it. And can you say it? You know the tower I'm talking about.
It's Pequot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, scholar. It's okay. I mean,
I used to be the house comic there. Colors and Wine.
All right. He's like a Pequot.
By the way, that's the only time in his life he's been called a scholar.
Yeah. It's Scholar.
Scholar.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry, kids.
You have been called a scholar, but it's like, scholar?
Yeah.
Oh, it was with a question mark?
Yeah, like gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah, it's like getting called Einstein.
Yeah, right. Einstein. But, you know, I guess, listen, I mean, 4 years of doing this, I pissed off one theater and casino. I guess that's pretty good.
Here's the thing with the bookers come and go.
Yeah.
Like, I've been here 20 years in mornings, and, you know, we have a relationship with that venue and that tribe, and they're great.
Yeah.
And those other people who would get mad at something like that, you know, they come and go.
All right, so I'll try again.
You'll be. Look,
I'll act like I've never been there before to the new broker. Hey, how is that theater?
Right.
No, I'm Anthony Rhodia. Yeah. I'm not Anthony Rhodia. Right.
Yeah.
No, there's an E in my name.
That's right.
How do you feel about kisses?
Yeah, right. You mind if I kiss people's faces? Yeah, I want to go back, but I mean, I'm not gonna. You know, there's other theaters, and so I've listen. Right. I've the way I've operated in this 4 years. There have been venues when I started that you know kind of didn't treat me the best, and I guess I was one of the few comics to tell them to go scratch. There was one venue that, you know, he kind of shorted me a lot and I said, listen, you owe me X, Y, Z. And he said, well, these are the numbers. And I said, well, I'm never coming back here again. He goes, well, good luck operating like that. And it didn't take me long to realize comics don't need the venue. The venue needs the comic. And
if the comic's bringing people.
Correct. If you have a fan base, that's your leverage. If you have people coming out in herds to see you and you've built up a fan base, the venue, you don't need the venue. During the pandemic, I was doing 500-person shows in parking lots because people needed to be outside and you couldn't go inside. So I learned that early, and I've kind of operated that way where, listen, I'm not going to bend over backwards and change the way I am because of a venue. I'll just pick another venue. And
right.
then, you know, Waterbury came up last year, and you know, that's going to be a spot for a long time.
You know Vinny at the Stress Factory?
Yeah, I love Vinny.
Great friggin' guy, right?
Yeah.
So Pete Davidson is playing there, and this is coming off of, what was the...
I know where this is going.
You know what
I speak
happened,
to
right?
Vinny a lot.
The yeah, Ariana Grande.
I know where this is going.
It was the Ariana Grande's because people were yelling that out.
Yep.
No, there was something else. It was Kate Beckinsale. I don't forget.
No. So Stress Factory was Kate Beckinsale. I was at Pete's show at Governor's because I know that I'm friends with the owner, James, at Governor's. And someone yelled out, how's Ariana? And he lost his cool and kicked them out. And
wow.
I'm like, come on. These kids probably waited all year to see you.
Right.
If you're dating here, dude, if you're in the spotlight, you chose to be in the entertainment business.
That's
Nobody
right.
got you out of like a telemarketing job and go, you're going to be in the entertainment business, whether you like it or not, and you're going to deal with everything that comes with it. Like, you got to deal with it. I deal
right.
with people taking pictures of me when I'm not expecting it. I deal with people coming up to me when I'm eating with my family. And
when
I
that goes away, you're in trouble.
But exactly. And my mentality is, like my wife will say to me sometimes, you know, hey, does this ever, like, are you putting up a front? Like, is this really annoying you ever? And I go, no, because in my mind, the life I have, the life I'm able to give my family, the people that are approaching me, those are the people that pay my bills.
That's right.
Without them, I don't have a job.
100%.
So it's like, I mean, so when you get annoyed at your fans because of the fact that they
were a little bit heckling. It's like heckling.
They were.
And it's
they
like
were.
Going to a weak spot. So it's like, are you a fan? Or are you here to be a dick?
Dave Chappelle said he was going to drop a nuclear bomb on Hartford.
That's right.
Yeah, I heard that also.
Then came back a year later and made good, though.
However,
he did make good.
His set at that time sucked. He wasn't organized. He just kind of went out.
Who's this?
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
He was just kind of rambling, and the audience was like,
And it wasn't just him. It was the Oddball Comedy Fest, so it was him with, like, a bunch of other people. He came out definitely unprepared, and they just started yelling lines from the Chappelle Show at him. And he just sort of, like, put the mic down and, like, walked off the stage.
Is it over?
What happened?
I don't get heckled much. I have really amazing fans that are just... I mean, it's almost kind of weird how after I tell a bit and they laugh, you could hear a pin drop in the entire place. And they're waiting for me to say something next. I have had fans that want to be a part of the show where they scream out. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've wanted to punch an 82-year-old woman square in the face. I love her.
Wouldn't that be cool, though?
I hugged her afterwards. So it was down in Nashville, and I'm at Zany's, and there's a woman 2 feet from the stage. She's right in the front, gray hair, walker, the whole nine. I mean, she had the entire geriatric outfit on. And I just said, I came out to try this in a small town, because you're in Nashville. That's one of my favorite country songs. So I came out, and I said, imagine this song's controversial, and one of the lines is, don't punch an old lady in the face. Not that I've never wanted to, and the whole crowd got silent. Then she starts talking. I love your dad. I love your characters. I said, thank you. I love this. I said, you guys are telling me now you never wanted to punch an old lady in the face?
That's perfect.
So that's like the extent of my aggravation. I have gotten aggravated where I hold it in. I've had somebody at the Borgata approach the stage in front of 1,000 people telling me she lost 35 pounds. You know, because she started dieting, and she's like, yeah, I'm on the Atkins.
Well, you've talked about your weight on your videos and stuff. So they're like, hey, man.
My weight. What? Seriously, Chaz?
No, haven't you?
My weight. Like, I have 22 pounds that I still have to lose.
No, but you...
Dude, I mean, hit me where I'm struggling.
No, that's...
But you said, if there are listeners out there right now, when you say to somebody, you've mentioned your weight before,
you have.
People are Googling me right now going, this guy's not morbidly obese.
He's not. You're not.
I've got a gut that I hide very, like, if I
have
take
you
off
talked
this,
about dieting at all? Have you talked
for
about
the last 15 years?
Okay, then. Yeah.
But agree. When you say that to somebody, it paints a picture.
Oh, it's the way I said it. You sound a little ladylike when you're saying that. You're a little sensitive.
Like, I'm wired. A rock hit my windshield, and I just found out how much it's going to cost, and I'm not
the R8.
No, the truck.
Yeah. All right, fine.
But, you know, let's say you had, I'm going to get ripped for this. Let's say you had a female guest. That was like 350 pounds.
Right, that's Ruth, like something. Putting your mic on.
That's like something you say to a woman. So you've spoken about how you struggle with your weight quite a bit. Yes. Like that's what it sounded like. Maybe not to everybody, but that's how my brain works. You've mentioned your weight struggles before on the air, haven't you? Yes. And
sounding like a Dr. Phil moment.
Yeah, it's a lead into.
I see that.
We're gonna have a therapy session.
Yes, right. I am, and that brings me to my next topic: thyroid.
Yeah, what I meant was, this is a super fan who knows that you've discussed eating.
Yeah,
and wants to relate to you.
Correct.
They're trying to connect with you.
No, pudgy comedian. Oh,
you're talking about why she approached it about weed?
Yeah.
No, she was high. She was so high on weed. She was stoned beyond belief.
Is this the video you posted?
Yes,
the video?
I posted it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes.
Awesome
and she
video.
She approached the stage and she goes.
Oh, and you're back and forth with that.
Well, here's the
brilliant
thing. If you approach me, you want to be a part of my show, go ahead. I'm going to rip you to shreds. Right. And I told her, I said, congratulations on your 35 pounds, but I think you should have waited till you lost another 35 to be stage presentable. And I mean, I faded out her face. I didn't put her whole face online. But I think the problem with, and I think it's growing, I think a lot of people are starting to heckle comedians, not to heckle, but be a part of the show because
they want to be that video clip.
Well, everyone's posting crowd work.
Yeah.
I don't do crowd work. I could. I have so much material that I need to get through that if I spend 20 minutes on crowd work, I'm missing 20 minutes of material that some of my fans want to see or that they've never heard. So I don't do crowd work. But when you constantly see these comedians posting crowd work and people see that they're on the video, they want to be a part of the show.
That's right.
And they come out and they're like, well, I'm going to be loud.
This is the way they get famous.
Exactly. My thing is, listen, there's guys that are amazing. Andrew Schultz is amazing at crowd work. Matt Rife is amazing at crowd work. But my opinion, and this is just for me, I'm doing a show and you're coming to watch me. You're not paying money to be a part of my show. So right. I don't do crowd work because of the material I have. But, you know, you have guys that are masters at it. I have done it, but it's only when somebody kind of throws themselves in the show.
So don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it Saturday.
I'll rip you to shreds.
Right.
I will make you go home with less self-esteem than you came to my show.
See, for some people, so that's good.
100%.
See, now, 100%. I would want to see that. I would want to see someone get ripped to shreds.
Go ahead.
You know, there are people listening who are thinking, oh, I accept that challenge.
Yeah, go ahead.
Really, but don't, right?
No, go ahead. I'm going to count how many chins you have. I'm going to look you up and down and point out every flaw, and I'm going to guess whether you're a cat or a dog lover. You could always tell.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, 94% of the people that argue with me online, their profile picture is a cat. I have no idea why. It's like a thing with cats.
High percentage of cat people
are
get
offended.
Into it online.
Yeah. And if you look at a cat's personality and a person's personality gets offended easily, same personality.
Really?
Yeah. Just, you know.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, exactly. That's how a cat is.
Am I a cat person or a dog person?
I think you're a dog person.
I am a dog person, but I have two cats.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? That makes no sense.
Well, I'm never home. So they kind of poop on their own,
right?
Eat on their own.
They are self-efficient.
Yeah.
And that's where the attitude comes from. Cats have an attitude.
Like,
I don't need you. I just need you to open the can.
Chaz, you've talked about your struggles with dogs in the past, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You have a struggle with dogs?
No, I'm just...
That's him being a dick.
I see what you did. You just connected to the weight.
Sorry.
Yeah, right. I see what you did there.
I didn't want to bring the weight up again.
No, it's still a little early.
Yeah,
for me,
leave Fatty alone.
Listen, I cover it very nicely. Like, right now I'm wearing a hoodie. If I took my hoodie off, Ironically, I still look like I'm wearing a hoodie.
My stomach folds exactly the same way that my hoodie does.
But I'm doing good. I think I'm down 9 pounds. I think I finally hit that switch where I'm in the gym every day. And I shot my special September 30th. And I've seen the first cut.
And
as soon as
happy?
I watch, I'm happy with the material. I'm happy with the crowd. Sold out show at the Paramount, 1,100 people, had like seven cameras. Well, I went big. I did it myself. I produced it, directed it myself.
Good for you.
We're going to shop it. If no one takes it, I'm putting it on YouTube for free. But after I watched the first cut, I was happy with the audience, happy with the material, went right to the gym.
Yeah.
Camera adds 10 pounds. I go, where did that neck come from?
Yeah.
Anthony Rotunda.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy's great. When's AJ coming back? I like ball breaking in the morning. That's actually pretty funny. Rotunda.
Ball breaking in the morning. That's the segment that
now,
we're doing right now.
Now I'm going to mess with him. I'm going to call into the show next week. I'm going to say thank you to your comment, Rotunda. I am now bulimic and anorexic.
You know,
I've just thrown up a meal.
Here's the thing.
I'll watch your show on Bravo.
Have you ever, after you
exactly where it would go.
Hit like 25, get comfortable? Have you ever gotten on the scale and you thought, that's it, perfect? Have you ever taken a compliment and said, yep, that's right, I'm at the perfect weight? I was 157 pounds, almost all muscle in between my marriages.
Right.
And people would say, oh, man, you look great. And I'd be like, yep, just a little bit more to go. You're never happy. You're fine.
No, I'm not fine, dude. I want to just, so it sounds so stupid and maybe vain. I want to be able to do a show with just jeans and a white V-neck and not have to do the fat guy pull where you pull your shirt and stretch it out. I stretch my shirts out before I put them on. And then I'm like, does this look wide? And my wife's like, yeah, you just stretched it for 6 minutes. Like I'm sitting there stretching it out. She goes, you look like you're wearing a car cover. I'm like, great. So I just want to get it to that point where I can put on a white V-neck. You don't see my belly button through the shirt. And my chest sticks out further than my stomach.
We're talking about weight loss with Anthony.
I mean, listen, I love doing comedy clubs. It's a little more intimate. Plus, some people just, you know, they don't want to spend the $70, $80, $90 for the theater, even though my tickets range a little bit. But some people like being a little closer. But there's nothing like doing a big venue. You know, you do 1,500, 2,000 people and, you know, one show Friday, one show Saturday instead of, you know, two shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. To account for that many people, but Palace Theater in Waterbury, like I said, last year was my first time.
That's a good spot for you.
Theater,
and Stanford's really good too.
Yeah, well, yeah. Stanford will pull from the Bronx, from Westchester, where I'm from, Connecticut. So I mean, you'll get a lot of different areas pulling into Stanford. The same thing with Waterbury. I mean, I have people from Boston coming over. I think it's only like a 2 hour ride.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Boston, yeah. So I've got people from Boston driving.
Are you doing stuff from the special at these venues?
Yeah, I'm going to do stuff until the special hits. And then once the special hits,
Special all done, all edited, ready to go?
Not all edited. They're editing right now. I have to actually go in to the production company next week and basically tell them, okay, I want these bits taken out. I want these bits put in. I filmed both shows and did about an hour and 20 each show. And then the second show, I did about 40 minutes of stuff that I didn't do in the first show.
Okay.
And I have to just kind of fit in what I want in there. But it'll be ready by the end of this month, and then we're going to shop it. And like I said, if nobody takes it, I'm not going to wait. Like if
how does that? So you, when you shop it, you basically tell Netflix and these other services, mm-hmm. this is how it's going to look.
Well, that was my problem with a lot of them. They wanted to do a special. And they wanted complete creative control, which means I do an hour and they can condense it down to 30 minutes. I'm like, I'm not watering myself down.
No.
It's not fair to my fans. And that's not how I want my new fans to think I am.
They'll take your best stuff out, too.
Yeah. So right now, my agent's going to shop it with everybody, every single streaming network, cable network. And I told them two things. If they don't give me creative control or they say, well, we're going to put this out way next year, 2024.
Oh.
I'm like, I put a lot of money up for this, man. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a $2,000 shoot. So I told them, I'm just going to put it out myself on YouTube and just let my fans share the hell out of it and do what they've been doing since I started comedy.
So you have a number in your mind. So it's number, content,
not
creative
number.
Control?
No, I don't even
no,
care about
really?
The money. Yeah, because my thing is, you know, a lot of people, they look at a special like a big money grab. My thing is, you know, if they obviously I know what the special's worth. I know what I'm worth.
What do you think it's worth? Like, what would a special like that be worth? A million?
No, I don't think I'm going to get that because I'm new. You know, I mean, I would love to tie in like a 3-year deal. I mean, because I have so much material.
Oh, I got you.
I would love it. Listen, my thing is all about relationships. I do this with theaters. I do this with comedy clubs. People that give me a shot before I make it to a certain level, I'd stay with them. I don't care about.
What do you think Chappelle gets for his Netflix deal?
God, Chappelle.
That's a whole nother.
I think it's got like a $40 million deal for three specials.
Right.
It's crazy. It's absurd. But, I mean, listen, I would love to have to tie in with one. The person that buys this or the person that puts this out, I'm probably going to stick with that network.
Right.
So I would love a three-year deal or whatever, but I'm not even looking at it from a dollar standpoint because the way my brain
works. Creative content
and
you want
to get it out.
Get it out there.
And I'll make the money by my audience growing. So if my audience triples.
Right. You know, smart.
I have probably about 1 million fans. If that triples or quadruples, I mean, 4 million fans, what you can do with that. Now you're talking about Radio City Music Hall. You're talking about 5,000-person venues. You'll quadruple everything,
smart.
And that's where you get your money from. People bank on the money from the special, and then it doesn't do well, and they're like, damn, I should have waited and actually put something really good out. Because the growth of your fans is where your revenue comes from.
So you're looking at it almost like a recording artist, like a musician. Like,
long
we'll
term.
Put the album out, and it's about the touring.
Yeah.
Make the money on the touring.
Yeah, my ticket sales have grown every year, and my venues have gotten bigger. My fans have gotten bigger.
When did it start for you? You were making videos.
I was making videos in 2017 with the idea and the plan of the character started by accident. Uncle Vinny and Zia Lucia, totally by accident. I did it to like break my cousin's chops, and I posted it because of the accent. Like, we were in a weight loss competition. There goes the weight again.
There it is.
There goes the weight again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I did say it.
I've always been a chubby boy. but I broke his balls with this character, Uncle Vinny, and the accent is so authentic that people started, watching it.
It makes a lot of people feel like they're at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those characters were by accident. And then I said to myself, if the Kardashians could be multi millionaires and take their fan base and make something of it, well, then if I create fans with the videos, I could put people in seats. All you have to do, I tell everybody this, because people ask me, how the hell did you get to this point in 4 years? Just feed your base. If you have fans and you have a base, keep feeding your base. So many comics, they try to be so widespread where they don't really appeal to a certain crowd. And like my crowd's old school. That's white, black, Italian, Portuguese, Asian, whatever. It's just old school. It's that old school mentality. So if you keep feeding your base and you'll keep growing an audience, and you have to have a niche audience. My niche audience is basically old school people that have a cynical sense of humor and don't get offended. There's quite a bit of us out there.
What I like about you is that you're young but old school.
Yeah.
You're not old school bitching about.
I'm not that young, dude. I got great skin. Not that young. How old do you think I am?
Now that you said that, I'm going to guess a little bit higher.
No, guess what you were going to guess. Don't do that.
Well, I would have said like 32.
I will reach over here and jump on you like a capuchin monkey. Are you serious?
Like in a good way?
In a great way. I'll hump your back the whole rest of the show. 32?
Really? Yeah, you have young kids.
43.
Really?
Yeah. I use olive oil, egg yolk, and ricotta cheese on it as a face mask every night.
Oh, I was going to say, you eat that?
Don't do that. Anybody that listens, that's a joke. I don't want people going, I broke out from the ricotta. I wasn't being serious. But
my shower drain is a mess.
I have ricotta in my pipes. That can actually go both ways. That can go both ways. I heard how that came out. So a lot of people say what you said. Like, I have, listen, one of the things I love is watching how many people and how many different age groups my comedy appeals to. I'll have now, it's widespread. There's not just 70-year-old Italians in my audience. There's all different types of nationalities, races, ages. We had, at the last show, a family of six. It was two 20-year-old kids, their parents, I think 20 and 24, their parents and their grandparents, all at the same show laughing at the same thing. So it's amazing to appeal to such a wide range. And then my videos, are watched by, 6-year-olds. You know, you have kids watching them with adults. So a lot of people tell me, like the old school people go, how do you have so much old school knowledge as a 43-year-old? You speak like you're 70. And I'm like, I have a really good memory, and I was tormented as a child.
That's right. Yeah. That'll do it.
I don't forget. This is my therapy. This is my therapy session, talking about being disciplined as a child. And
it seems like this is like your life story is a movie. Because a lot of people, when they break out, it's like, oh, overnight sensation. Well, no, he's been working 30 years, and now...
Correct.
You're really an overnight... This is really an overnight, but you have this presence on stage, like you've been doing it your whole life.
I mean, in a sense, I have.
A lot of people have ever seen this.
My mom has videos of me being a six-year-old at like Christmas parties, imitating my uncles and aunts and stuff. I got yelled at for it.
Okay, so you've been doing it, just not on a stage.
Do you know how many times I get smacked because my father would say something to me and I repeat it exactly like him, and then he'd hit me?
But
and
that's
now,
the difference. You had the toughest possible audience, so now it doesn't matter what's in front of you.
Well, the smack was a good thing, though. It's like, I got him.
People ask him, I can say
any joke I want, and no one's going to hit me in the mouth.
I got smacked because my father looked at it as disrespect. But people ask him now at shows. They go, now you don't mind that your son uses your stuff? He goes, listen, my son, it's to make him money. It's to take care of his kids, his wife, and he bought me a pickup truck. So I'm like, there it is.
It's
a pickup truck. But my father's funny without even knowing it. So he's got diabetes and his teeth were getting bad and he wanted to get new teeth. So he calls me up and he goes, I think it's time for me to get the denture, permanent denture. I said, all right, go to this guy. I know him really well. He'll do a consultation. So he comes back. He goes, okay, he finished the constipation. I said, that's not the word. That's close. I said, what happened? He goes, Anthony, he said, I'm going to go next week to get it fitted, but I just want to tell you, I'm going to pay for this myself. I work very hard my whole life. I got a great pension. I got Social Security. You do a lot for everybody in the family. I'm going to get my own teeth. You understand? I said, yes. Okay, good. I said, it's 11 grand. It would not kill you to do one more nice thing for your father. I'm like, that changed real quick. So every time my father smiles, I tell him I own his smile.
This must happen to you all the time. My wife just texted me, but does Anthony have tickets for Saturday night?
Yes.
I hate to do that to you.
No, I don't care. I mean, put me on the spot.
Yeah, but I know.
That's like me going, this coffee machine is nice. You mind if I take this?
Right.
you could have tickets, but I get that a lot. I mean, I get it more so now, but from people, like, I don't mind. Listen, I've had fans. There was a fan, this guy Don in Chicago, wrote me privately and asked, hey, listen, I have a disability. I'm tight on fixed income, blah, blah, blah. I got him an Uber to the show, got him two tickets, got him a meet and greet. Like, I do a lot for my fans.
Thanks for not saying the S word.
Yeah, you caught that?
That was nice.
That was good.
I caught that.
Yeah,
I stopped myself from cursing. Therapy is working, right? It's like I almost hit myself with the zap button. But I do a ton for my fans. But they're my fans. They go about it. I'm not going to do something for someone that writes on my public page, hey, I'm broke. I want to come see you. Give me tickets. Okay, but I'll get people that reach out to me that I haven't seen in 25 years. Hey, man, I knew you were going to do this ever since high school. Would love to come out and support you. I said, all right, I'll see you at the show. You have 10 tickets for me and my family. We're dying to see you. So you want me to support you?
Yeah,
you
don't want to support me. That's the support.
And I told the guy, I said, no. He's like, wow, dude, it's like that? Yeah, it's like that. All right, well, I guess our friendship doesn't mean anything. Well, I haven't seen you in 25 years. Here's to another 25.
So we're like, back to not talking.
It's so crazy. But yes, your wife can get one ticket.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll be outside eating hot dogs.
One ticket.
Yeah, just let me know how many. But you for Waterbury?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't say anything about his weight.
She didn't. Right.
That's right.
Thank you.
She loves him.
Thank you.
Are you kidding me?
There you go, Patty.
So we're going to do Rocky trivia because Burt Young died. Paulie.
Yeah.
What an
iconic. 80s?
Oh, my God. So good. 203-882-9757. Anthony will give you a pair of tickets to Stanford or Waterbury. Your choice.
Mm-hmm.
203-882-9757.
I have a trivia question for you about him.
About Rocky?
Yeah, no, about Paulie.
Oh.
About Burt Young.
Okay.
What was his boxing record?
Oh, good question.
Did you know he was a boxer?
No.
Yeah. What was his boxing
record? Well, I'll have to make this up now.
I'll give you three choices.
Okay.
I'll give you multiple choice.
Okay.
A, 22-1. B, 26-5. C, 17-0.
I want to go with 26-5, but I'm going to go with the first one.
17-0.
Oh, so it was the last one.
He was undefeated. Yeah, and I learned that from my buddy Chuck Zito's page. Chucky was really good friends with him, and he posted. I didn't know he was a boxer.
Wow.
He was a really good boxer. Yeah.
And a great actor.
Yeah.
Friends, oh.
Yeah. I love the scene when he throws the the turkey out the door.
Yes,
that was a great scene because I've thought about doing that to my sister.
Do we have the clip of when he was talking to Rocky about boxing?
I don't want nothing from you. I don't want nothing from you. This ain't no charity case. Get out of my house. Get out of my house.
Wait a minute. This is Anthony talking to a fan about free tickets. I mean the clip.
We're not friends.
We're not friends. I don't want no charity from you.
I don't want you missing, huh? Yeah, come on. Want to hit on me? Come on. I'll break both your arms so they don't work for you. Now you're a big shot fighter on the way up. You don't even draw a crumb to your friend Paulie. When I go and get your meat every morning, you forgot that night I even give you my sister, too. You loser! I don't get married because of you. You can't live by yourself. You owe me.
That movie is so
funny. It's so funny because I had a neighbor. She lives down the street. Older Italian woman comes to my door. I'm getting ready. My wife and kids are out of the house. I'm getting ready, and I think I had like tea time. And don't get involved in my tea time. I hate being late for golf. And I answer my door. It's 5.5-foot woman outside. She goes, "Hey, what's up? I'm your neighbor." Mm-hmm. I said, "All right, nice to meet you." "Yeah, yeah, yeah. I live down the street." I said, "It's fantastic. I've never seen you before." She goes, "Yeah, no, I always see you guys are walking with the kids." I said, "Beautiful. Can I help you?" "Yeah, you're going to be at the Westbury Music Theater." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah, I want to go so bad, but tickets are so expensive." I said, "Expensive? They're like $60 a piece." "Yeah, but I want to be close. That's like $90. I have 5 people want to come with me." I said, "Did you come to my house like almost like trick or treating for tickets?" "If you can give me 6, I said, "I'll give you 6 tickets." I took down her name. She goes, "And make sure it's close. I want to be close. I don't got a good eyesight." I'm like, "Well, you found my house from down the street." And I called up my buddy Dom and I said, "Hey, I got 6 comps for this woman that lives down the street." I gave him the name and he goes, "All right, where do you want me to put her?" I said, "Last row in the back." So she comes up to me after the show and she goes, "They put him in the back." I'm like, "They must have mixed you up with someone else. I could not see nothing. I hear you. You're very funny, but I could not see." I said, "Well, you should get glasses, but I'm glad you enjoyed the show." So it's happened.
Sean in West Hartford, what's your question?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
How many steps are there in the Rocky as he's climbing up those steps? How many steps are there?
Oh, wow.
That's a great question.
That's architecture, but okay.
Yeah.
It's got 2 levels to it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a...
Wow, that's really good.
Probably about 15 each.
Oh, I was thinking more than that.
I was thinking 30-something each.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We're going to say...
Will you guys tease me if I know it?
Yeah.
No, we'd actually be in awe.
All right, 72.
Loser.
Oh, my God. You got it.
I said 70. That was
Jesus.
My guess.
My
amazing.
Family's from Philly. I have cousins in Philly.
72. Sorry, Sean. You can't go to the show.
Who's your family, Rain Man? Why are they coming
to us? I dropped some toothpicks. Pick them up. There's 38 of them.
It's me, Rain Man.
It's me, Rain Man. I'm the weather guy.
I go with the Kmart.
Jeff and Monroe, what's your question?
Hey, guys. Hope AJ feels better.
Yes.
How many eggs did he crack and put in his glass?
3.
The famous scene start.
3. Goodbye.
How many?
3.
Nope.
Oh, it's not 3.
5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think it was 7.
That's too much. That glass
was it?
Wasn't that big. That glass wasn't that big.
I thought 3.
I thought three.
It's 5.
3.
That your answer?
Yeah.
Yes, Jeff.
It was 6.
What? 6
Damn.
Eggs.
Wow.
You watched the bootleg cut.
All right, we got your number. You're in the running to see Anthony. Where would you go? Which show? Stanford or Waterbury?
Stanford.
What? Stanford? Okay.
Stanford.
I'll tell you what. We're going to send you to Stanford. How's that? Because we're running out of time. So you're in.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
We got your number. We got your name. All right. One more. Chris in North Brantford.
Hey, guys. What actor played the baby in Rocky II?
Who?
Who played the baby in Rocky II?
There was a baby?
we didn't say Rocky trivia. We didn't say Rocky II. It was Rocky.
Yeah, but you had to do all the Rockies, no?
Yeah, and they made the
Not
baby
if I don't
one.
Know the answer.
Oh, my God. I think I was it the same kid that played his son?
No. I think it's like Sofia Coppola or something, isn't
it? Is it?
No, she would have been old enough. No.
Webster? As a 40-year-old man?
They never really showed him.
This is a really good question.
I don't know.
Is it someone we would know? This looks like Apollo a little bit.
Hey, Adrian, what have you been hanging out with Apollo? This kid's got a tan.
This kid looks like Mr. T.
This kid's a black kid smoking a cigar over here.
What's the answer?
It's Sylvester Stallone's son. He was a year old.
Yes, I heard that. I didn't know it was him, but wasn't he the same? Wasn't that his real son in part four? Or no?
Five.
And
five.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was his real son.
All right, Chris.
Two sons. I think one's autistic, and I think that was the one who was the baby.
Yeah, he never. Yeah. Is his son still alive, or did he pass away?
He's got two kids, I think. I believe they're both still alive.
No, he's got three daughters. They're always on Instagram.
Chris, you're going to go to the Waterbury show. Time.
That's closer to me. All right. Sounds good.
You're welcome.
He acted like he didn't want them. He goes, that's closer. It's like he almost wanted to drive further. I wanted to get further from my house, but I guess I'll go right down the street.
All right, Chris, I got to go.
That's a
Thank
great
you.
Question.